Hey there. So this video is going to give you five signs you're not an ENTJ. Now, unlike the paradoxically rare and yet apparently commonplace types such as the INFJ and the INTJ, the ENTJ isn't massively mistyped into, but is still more mistyped into than the underdog types such as the ESFJ and ESFP and the ESTP. And there is a lot of misunderstanding as to how this type actually manifests in reality, largely owing to the commander stereotype that is often assigned to it. And don't get me wrong, ENTJs and ESTJs as well can very much live up to that go-getter archetype. But ultimately, it is an oversimplification of this cognitive type and also fairly misleading. And it's perfectly common for ENTJs to rather identify with more exploratory or even introspective types like the ENTP, INTP, and indeed the INTJ. And that last one in particular is a very, very common source of mistyping for the ENTJ, not in the least because many ENTJs simply are not that sociable. And it's got to be said, owing to myriad different factors, the ENTJ can find themselves on either end of the sociability spectrum. So let us jump into the video with sign number one that you are not an ENTJ, cognitive extroversion. Now, out of all of the extroverted types, it is this extroverted thinking dominant who can most easily meet the criteria of what is commonly regarded to be introversion in a highly authentic and genuine fashion. And this is because, in a contemporary sense, extroversion goes hand in hand with sociability. And while an ENTJ cognition can absolutely be the life of a party, this is not a state native to the ENTJ's default cognition. Being an extroverted thinking dominant has very little to do with being sociable, and in many ways, extroverted thinking itself is the antithesis of effervescent sociability. To be an extroverted thinking dominant is to be more concerned with the external object than the external subject, and the extroversion of the ENTJ manifests in the pursuit and acquisition of goals. And the degree to which this type interacts with people in the first place is often relative to the part people play in reaching these goals. And of course, this is far from always the case. Many ENTJs are deeply loving and charismatic individuals who love nothing more than to socialize for the sake of socializing. But in terms of the default cognitive layout, generally speaking, extroverted feeling, as will be explored later, is dipped into from an extroverted thinking perspective. And there's often a great degree of natural independence that results from this. And independence itself can be regarded as a marker of introversion within some criteria, being, after all, autonomous from the collective. And to fully appreciate all the ways a person can be introverted or extroverted on a cognitive level, a level consistent with all of the ways a person can be one or the other, rather than just a select few, it is necessary to distinguish between a reactive cognition and a proactive one. A proactive cognition is one removed from an external pursuit or interaction. As the name implies, it is cognition for its own sake. And of course, relative to their own introverted development, the ENTJ can have plenty of this particular modality. The cognition more native to the ENTJ, however, is reactive in nature. That is to say, rather than being autonomous from an external pursuit, this cognition is extensive of it. Much of the internal dialogue of this type is more dependent upon an external medium, or even in anticipation of an interaction with said medium. While, of course, ENTJs will still experience proactive cognition, with all of us being both introverted and extroverted, after all, much of the internal dialogue of this type is more dependent upon an external medium. This could involve an extended body of research, or, yet more commonly with this type, the active pursuit of a goal. Oftentimes, here, even that cognitive dialogue, more internal, is still in anticipation of such externality, be it the active formulation of a desired result or the strategy by which this result can be attained. If your cognition is more proactive by nature, being more independent of or even resistant to an external medium, more naturally disengaged with any such external interaction, perhaps of a more fanciful or even internally experiential nature, it is rather unlikely you are an ENTJ. Furthermore, if you find the bulk of your internal dialogue unrelated to the means by which an external goal can be attained, it is again less likely you are this type. Sign number two that you are not an ENTJ. The ENTJ is an extroverted thinking dominant, and the implications of this are twofold. First and foremost, it is important to define what extroverted thinking actually is. Unlike its introverted counterpart, that is, introverted thinking that relies upon internal representations to reach logical conclusions, extroverted thinking is much more concerned with what can be tangibly observed. Whereas introverted thinking is rational and concerned with the order of internal frameworks, extroverted thinking is empirical and concerned with the order of external frameworks. What is effective and pragmatic? What can be manifested and observed in external reality? How does one externally perceived value correspond to another one? A common misunderstanding of cognitive functions is the idea that because you are one thing, you are automatically not the other. In this case, because you are an extroverted thinker, you are automatically not an introverted one. This is nonsense. The ENTJ is most definitely an introverted thinker. They simply prioritize the extroverted component. As such, internal definitions will of course be stored and defined over time. But this will be done at the behest of what is externally and practically relevant, rather than for the sake of internal cohesion alone. To be an extroverted thinker is to have the process that is thought originate from external reality. Unlike the introverted thinker, who employs extroverted thinking in order to refine internal frameworks as well as effectively externalize them, the ENTJ employs introverted thinking in order to better understand what is in front of them and conceive of better ways of interacting with it in the first place. That is to say, introverted frameworks here are an assistive means by which extroverted thinking can interact with and innovate upon external reality. As introverted thinking here is entered from an extroverted thinking gateway, there tends to ensue a greater consumption emphasis within this type. Generally speaking, knowledge and insights can be traced easier to an external origin. And while not every ENTJ will be plowing through encyclopedias on the daily, generally speaking, this type would prefer to look up information in a more time-effective manner than spend hours on end internally theorizing for the sake of idle thought. And the second ramification of extroverted thinking within this type stems from its dominant position. Unlike the more observant, divergent extroverted thinking of the ISTJ and INTJ, the extroverted thinking of the ENTJ is convergent. As such, the actionable emphasis is emphasized here over the observable. This lack of differentiation between cognitive function attitudes is generally what causes the greatest amount of mistyping between introverted extroverted thinkers and extroverted ones. ESTJs, ENTJs, ISTPs, types renowned for their convergent use of extroverted thinking, tend to consistently mistype as INTJ, owing to the idea that extroverted thinking in this NI dominant type is the type's auxiliary function, its tool, if you will, an easy and effective means to actualize its introverted intuitive vision. In reality, however, extroverted thinking within the INTJ serves to enrich their internal world. As a lens dominant type, the emphasis here is upon a rich and novel internal experience much more than it is upon consistent external innovation. It is, however, the ENTJ who uses extroverted thinking in this tool-like capacity at the behest of introverted intuitive vision. It is convergent extroverted thinking that consistently innovates upon external reality at the behest of introverted feeling, values, and desires. As such, while not all ENTJs are the forces of nature they are often portrayed to be, the interactivity of this type's extroverted thinking does entail a strong actionable component. A compulsive need to enact change upon one's external reality. And of course, every ENTJ's external reality will be different. Finally, unlike the auxiliary extroverted thinking of the ESFP and ENFP, extroverted thinking in dominant position is much more expansive. Desire for order and external maximization of efficiency applies to all within this type's locus of control, rather than just a specific skill set or pursuit this type happens to be engaged with. If you find action upon meaningful desire requiring of willpower or a more deliberate cultivation of motivational energies before such action becomes possible, it is unlikely you are an ENTJ. Furthermore, if you tend to emphasize the internal exploration over the solution, preferring internal pontification over the action that can result from it, it is less likely you are an ENTJ. The manner of the ENTJ's extroverted thinking, however, is informed by the lens to which it is assigned, namely, extroverted sensing. And as a more assistive function of a more volitional nature, this function serves an auxiliary role to the dominant. It is extroverted sensing that lends the ENTJ the oftentimes natural intensity, the ability to hone in to a task and desired outcome with a natural focus and singular intent. And this variation of the extroverted thinking dominant makes up for a natural aversion to micromanagement and improvisational innovation domains of the ESTJ, with this very hyper-focus and a particularly tenacious character. And this very singular intensity contributes to the oftentimes natural charisma of this type. This is a type, after all, that can radiate purpose and self-belief, and the extroverted sensing intensity of the ENTJ can often give others a great sense of security and certainty for as long as they are aligned with the ENTJ's cause. While ENTJs across the board will have the precisely analytical and industrious associations of this TE-SE dominant pairing, the degree to which extroverted sensing here becomes more experiential is relative to the dynamic activation of this auxiliary. As such, the more extroverted subtypes of the ENTJ exhibit not only a strong intensity and forward momentum, but also a certain craving for tangible, concrete experience and a tendency to take ownership of this experience. Owing to the possessive nature of this convergent auxiliary function, there tends to ensue a natural desire to take charge of these experiences for both themselves and others. And it's not in the least bit unusual for more extroverted ENTJs to be hosting parties and elaborate trips abroad. And this is a great opportunity to do a bit of myth-busting. If you see a supposed INTJ in the grip of their extroverted sensing, you know, going on binges and the like, you may want to consider ENTJ as an alternative. Yes, we can be in a grip of any function, but this grip will manifest proportionate to the function's natural attitude. An INFP in a grip of extroverted thinking, for example, will be hyper-vigilant against what could go wrong, planning for the worst, divergence, much more than commandeering a vast extroverted thinking operation, convergence. We tend to push into our auxiliary as a kind of stress response. ENFPs hypermanage, INFPs retreat into an internal concrete landscape, and ENTJs into the tangible here and now, and any means by which this retreat can be facilitated. As the most convergent function, the further we push into it, the more distance we create between our ego and our oppositional function, in this case, introverted feeling. And this SE auxiliary can lend the ENTJ a high appreciation for nuance and aesthetic detail, and, much like their ESFP cousins, a highly creative and self-expressive side to the personality. However, as an auxiliary function, extroverted sensing here is still more volitional than it is compulsive, and the degree of its activation will often be relative to extroverted thinking agenda and introverted intuitive vision. As such, if you consider yourself more of a multitasker, seamlessly blending multiple components and responsibilities together into synergistic accord in a manner that seems almost improvisational or indeed even magical, it is less likely you are an ENTJ. The TE-SE pairing of this type tends to lend each and every action a highly deliberate nature, and generally, improvisational capacity is exchanged for focused intensity. Furthermore, if you find yourself utterly averse to tangible, concrete external experience, and those experiences you do enjoy tend to be facilitated by other people, it is less likely you are an ENTJ, because all but the most divergent subtypes of this type tend to take a degree of ownership over tangible, concrete experience. Sign number four that you are not an ENTJ, the introverted intuitive authority function. It is important to note that extroverted sensing is on an axis with introverted intuition. As such, the ENTJ is happy to hone into such a focused portion of external reality, owing to the expansiveness of their introverted intuitive vision. That is to say, single tasks are not pursued as much for their own sake, as much as they serve as constituent parts of a much bigger picture within the ENTJ's headspace. Essentially, TESE pursuits act as stepping stones in a much grander design. Tasks here do not have to be pursued simultaneously, because NI has already designated them a time and place along the line. And this is why the ENTJ is generally more averse to TENE employments, such as multitasking and macro management. And while this can very much apply to all types within SE-NI axis, it applies especially so to ENTJs, owing to the distribution of attitudes within their respective cognitive functions. Just as how the SE of the ENTJ is more convergent and thus acted upon, the introverted intuition is more divergent and therefore observed and abided by. While the authority function can definitely enjoy a degree of convergent activity, generally speaking, the introverted intuition of the ENTJ acts more as a kind of North Star to guide their external machinations. As the name authority implies, the internal trajectories of the ENTJ tend to have a very uncompromising nature, and this does lend the type to oftentimes natural tenacity. The NI authority here instills a need to internally map out an outcome in advance of its arrival, and the greater introverted feeling values this outcome, the more introverted intuition will be relied upon. As such, the ENTJ is generally averse to improvise and see what happens, preferring much more to map out an outcome as well as the steps by which this outcome could be reliably achieved. This can, however, result in a certain inflexibility when certain variables arrive out of the blue or just fail to be accounted for. However, it would be a lie to say introverted intuition in this type is entirely pragmatic. Just as how extroverted sensing here can have a more experiential emphasis, introverted intuition can have a more playful side. There is a reason why many artists and philosophers of ages gone by have been ENTJs, whereby a more experiential and less need-driven side of this type's introverted feeling can instill a broader abstract curiosity, but one which is still pursued by the type's extroverted thinking, extroverted sensing need for a definitive solution. And this is a good time to point out that extroverted thinking dominance does not need to be associated with the acquisition of resources and power. The emphasis is instead upon the unification of what can be empirically observed, and introverted intuition here can act as more of a kind of internal vista to aid in this pursuit. As such, if you find your external pursuits to be more exploratory in nature, experiencing little compulsion to vividly internalize a desired outcome, it is unlikely you are an ENTJ. Furthermore, if you have difficulty prioritizing tasks in accordance with their place in a grand design, and feel restless even if you are not performing multiple activities alongside each other, it is unlikely again you are an ENTJ. Finally, introverted intuition within the ENTJ can possess a highly abstract and theoretical quality relative to this type's introverted thinking dip. If you do not find abstraction and consultation of broader underlying principles to aid in your journey of self-fulfillment, it is again unlikely you are an introverted intuitive authority type. Sign number 5 that you are not an ENTJ, the introverted feeling or positional function. And this function very much informs the aforementioned introverted intuitive authority function of this type. As such, the visions of this type are invariably linked to self-actualization and attainment of those goals the self finds personally meaningful. While ENTJs do very much have an extreme sense of individuality and a more natural pool of self-motivation, at least as far as self-motivation goes, that is, it would be erroneous to equate this hyper-divergent introverted feeling as being intrinsically self-oriented. While the attachment process occurs outside of the ego, the desires of this type are not just at the behest of the self, but at the behest of everything the self holds dear. And this very much applies to those individuals who enter the ENTJ's closely guarded inner circle. However, again, since this attachment process occurs outside of the ego, the ENTJ won't always necessarily be as part of a community, for example, as people may assume them to be. They won't always necessarily be as close friends of someone as that someone assumes them to be. However, owing to the hyperdivergence of this function here, that is to say, observation upon more than action unto, this type can struggle with adaptation and compromise to circumstances that are less than desirable. While the uncompromising introverted feeling of this type very much lends them their tenacity and perseverance, it can, in less developed ENTJs, result in a certain stubbornness and tunnel vision, as the type repeatedly hits themselves against barriers to the detriment of both themselves and others, when a better solution may have been to find another route or comparable destination. And this less mature, uncompromising attitude can result in certain self-destructive tendencies. Furthermore, since emotions and values here are not being as constantly assessed as they would be with, say, an introverted feeling dominant, for as much as this type may be aware of their desires, they may not necessarily be aware of why they feel that way in the first place. And this can also lead to a detachment from the very notion of personal meaning. For many ENTJs, identity and meaning simply are, and assessing them serves next to no purpose. When the type is unable to achieve a desired goal, especially when owing to a roadblock completely outside of this type's control, there is capacity for a demoralization so strong as to be very difficult to come back from. Absent here a fluid dominant axis, such an ENTJ may find themselves burning out early in life, retreating into a more divergent and TE passive subtype. And finally, as with many thinking dominants, there is a capacity here to suppress negative emotions by retreating into a more detached rational sanctum. Prolonged bouts of such can, especially in the ENTJ owing to the kaleidoscopic NIFI pairing, result in volcanic eruptions and chronic neuroses if the type has too antagonistic a relationship with their opposing functions. If you find tolerance and compromise easy and generally struggle more with action upon meaningful desire more than the assessment of that desire, it is pretty unlikely you are an ENTJ. Furthermore, if you exhibit little tendency to suppress negative and less immediately useful emotions, finding yourself rather plunging right down into the emotional depths entirely for their own sake, absent any kind of TE application, it is unlikely you are this type. Oppositional introverted feeling, even when fully reconciled with the ego, still tends to have a certain immovable quality, and while the ENTJ can be at times their own worst enemy, this also ensues a certain tenacity and forward momentum, as TE convergence acts at the behest of preformed desire. Bonus point, more fluid and developed variants of the ENTJ tend to enjoy a strong extroverted intuitive extroverted feeling dip. Here essentially, TESE, these dominant functions of the type, dip into the polar end of the extroverted continuum to perform a more outgoing and oftentimes charismatic role. While this pairing is entered into from a TE dominant perspective, and thus often concerned with the acquisition of a resource or the attainment of a goal, this is not always the case, and this type can oftentimes employ extroverted feeling for experiential or even collectivistic reasons. As extroverted intuition encompasses a greater swath of external reality, this type's extroverted feeling employments tend to bring people together and steer social dynamics in a more deliberate fashion. And many ENTJs who develop this cognitive dip can actually become excellent entertainers, particularly if their extroverted sensing can switch into a more ESFP-like modality. And it is often this type's more charismatic use of extroverted feeling, considered in conjunction with the introverted intuitive authority and their rather relentless introverted feeling desires, that gives this type the ability to climb ladders in the way in which they are known for. As while the TESE employment of this type tends to be resistant to micromanagement and the juggling of multiple responsibilities, this type's extroverted feeling dip allows them to call upon human resources to help with this. And as I said in the 16 Types of Fantasy Classes video that I had a lot of fun with, it is the charisma of this type that allows them to maximize their potential. Indeed, because extroverted feeling is entered into here from a more exacting extroverted thinking gateway, this type oftentimes has more capacity for deliberate social steering than an actual extroverted feeling dominant. However, it is important to note this dip requires practice, and even in the most fluid ENTJ, the dip is still volitional by nature, requiring deliberate, conscious activation, and as such cannot always be relied upon to automatically save the day. While this very deliberation lends this type the social will that they are known for, the lack of natural compulsion to engage this particular codec lens pairing can result in some circumstances in a fair degree of social bipolarity. And this social bipolarity may be even more apparent in the more gregarious and charismatic variants of this type, oscillating between warm fuzziness 1 minute and cold detachment the next, as opposed to a less fluid ENTJ for whom an emotionally neutral disposition is more the norm to begin with. As such, if your extroverted feeling employments tend to be more cautious and observant than they are active, it is somewhat less likely we're entering this particular function through a TE dominant gateway. But of course, such conditions as social anxiety would certainly get in the way there. So take that one with a grain of salt. While not all ENTJs will activate the more gregarious side, which is oftentimes reliant upon outer type factors such as self-esteem, those that do so will enjoy a certain charisma and natural social networking ability. If you experience extroverted feeling as more of a compulsive function, prioritizing social harmony more for its own sake than something more extensive of your own individual desires, and experience little in the way of the aforementioned social bipolarity, it is unlikely you are an ENTJ. So thank you so much for watching. I hope the video was useful, and if you do know anybody who you think might benefit from the contents of the video, be sure to share it with them. If after watching a few videos you are still uncertain about what your type is, I highly recommend checking out the CPT Type Service. And I also offer type coaching for those interested in individuation, self-growth, and employment of cognitive functions towards various life goals. If you would like to support the channel and the theory on an additional level, I highly recommend checking out the Patreon page. Every month we have a live stream over there and our very own cozy little Discord server as well. But just to keep everybody in the loop, I am considering opening a public Discord server. But this will be simply more geared towards allowing a space for people who are interested in CPT to interact with each other. So that's it from me. Once again, thank you for watching the video, especially if you made it this far. You are awesome. And I'll be back in a couple of weeks. For now, take care.